23. Now, next week, Brother Tim Sigma is going to be bringing the Wednesday night message. I'm going to be in revival. Also, Brother Tim will be delivering the morning message next Sunday. I'll be here Sunday morning, and I'll be here this Sunday, obviously, Lord willing, and then the following Sunday I'll be here. But the 9th is a special Sunday, special announcement that morning, and it's a bring a friend service, and the choir will be singing. So we want everybody to try to bring one on the 9th, so you be sure to do that and be here for the services, okay? Matthew chapter 7. And what we're going to do, we'll go ahead and look at verses 15 through verse 23. It says, "Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so every good tree which bringeth forth good fruit, and corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down, cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will my, doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? In your name casted out demons, in their name done many wonderful works, and I'll profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful again we have this privilege. Thank you for everyone that come out tonight. We pray a special blessing on everyone that's here. We pray that your spirit would be in the services. You'd fill me with your spirit as I teach your word. May I rightly divide it. And we pray, Lord, that maybe perhaps as a result of what is said today and tonight, someone would be saved. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And we began with this section last week, and the message last week was entitled Two Gates, Two Ways. And we noticed that there is a narrow gate which leads to life, and there is a broad gate which leads to destruction. And both of those are just illustrations of two different paths of life that people are on. Now, there's only two ways and there's only two gates, and that there's not a third one. So there's no middle road in this situation. You're either on the narrow road that leads to eternal life, or you're on the broad road which leads to destruction. There is no middle ground in this thing. A lot of people think you can be that way, but you can't. You're on one or the other. If you're here tonight and you're saved and you've trusted Jesus Christ, who is the narrow way, which is the narrow gate, if you've done that, then you're set for eternity, are you not? You're not only set for this life, but you're also set for eternity. And if we're born on that broad road, and the thing that you need more than anything else is to be off that road there and on the narrow road. All God's people said, that's very, very, very important. Well, what we noticed last week in looking at this narrow way is we showed that the narrow way was Jesus. And then we began to focus on the broad way. And we showed that some of the people showed different groups of people that's on that broad way. And one group of people that's on that broad way is the immoral. A lot of immoral people on the broad way. We went to 1 Corinthians 6, and it describes in 1 Corinthians 6 drunkenness, covetous folks, thieves, homosexual, all different types of sins are mentioned in 1 Corinthians 6. And it says, those that do such things shall not inherit the kingdom. So the broad way is filled with immoral people. Okay? Now, certainly those that's on the narrow way, people that have trusted Jesus, they should be moral people, should they not? They should be a people that live godly and a people that live righteous, not to get saved, but because they are saved. Great deal of difference between the two. Now, tonight we want to look at another group. We're still going to continue. We're going to look at another group tonight that's on this broad road. The first group we looked at last week was that there's a lot of immoral people on the broad road. Now, tonight we're going to look at a second group that's on this broad road, and this second group that's on it is the religious people. Many religious people are on this broad road that leads to destruction. Not a few, many. And that's what we're going to focus on tonight. And here's the title of the message statement. Are you back there waiting on it? I was going to give it to you before you got hateful. It's the religious lost. The religious lost. There's a great host, folks. Great host of religious people that are lost. And they're not on the narrow road. They think they're on the narrow road, but they're not. They're on this broad road that leads them to destruction because they've trusted a false way. Now, is it proper, you think, to warn someone that's trusted a false way? I think it's very proper. I think we have a responsibility to do that. Now, we live in a time where many people will not do that, and they assume the position that everybody's right. It don't make any difference. Just so you're religious and you believe in something, you're going to be okay, but that's not true. There is the broad road. There's a lot of immoral people on it, but there's also a lot of religious people on it, and this text brings that out. We're going to look at two in this religious people. We're going to divide them into two groups, and we're going to look at worldly religion, and then number two, counterfeit Christianity. And on this broad road is a lot of religious people. And I divided these religious people into two groups. Worldly religion, and then number two, counterfeit Christianity. There's a lot of counterfeiters in Christianity, and we'll talk a little bit about them too. But all of these religious people are on this broad road. Okay? All right, let's talk about worldly religion a little bit first of all. And there's a lot of different worldly religions. It's not Christianity or called Christianity. Do you guys not agree? There is a lot of different worldly religious people. Now, in my opinion, and I think I'm right or wouldn't say it at all, I believe that all worldly religions to be on the broad road that leads to destruction. All of them. All worldly religions is on the broad road that leads to destruction. Now, if I said that on the radio, and I probably have a time or two, boy, you talk about being called closed-minded is over that issue right there. All worldly religions is on the broad road. Now, you say, well, Jeff, why would you say that? Well, because there's only one way. You see, the worldly religions the only religion that has a Savior is Christianity. That's the only religion that has a Savior is Christianity. So if someone's trusting a religion that doesn't have Jesus in it, then there's no salvation there. I don't care how many good deeds they do or how righteous they may appear. Without a Savior, then you're on the broad road. So there's a great host of worldly religions. So let me go ahead and give you some of the numbers on this so you can see what I'm saying. Is Islam a worldly religion? Well, certainly Islam is a worldly religion. Boy, and it's a large worldly religion. Does Islam have a Savior? No. Jesus is the Savior. Acts 4, verse 12, 11 and 12 says, neither is there salvation in any other. Talking about Jesus. Neither is there salvation in any other. In Jesus is the only way of salvation. For there is none other name under heaven. Is every country on this world under heaven? None other name under heaven given amongst men whereby ye must be saved. Jesus is it. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one cometh to the Father but by me. So he's the only way. So in worldly religions that don't preach Jesus or teach Jesus as a way of salvation, that means they're on that broad road, doesn't it? Don't care how dedicated they are to the religion. Don't care how much they do in the religion. Without Jesus, they're on the broad road. Now, let me give you some of the numbers on these things. I looked some of them up. You can get stats anywhere. I just looked some up just to give you an idea. This was infoplease.com. That's where I looked this up. Infoplease.com. is a source of these stats. Islam has 1.5 billion people in it. Just let that sink down just for a little bit. 1.5 billion people in it. I think the world population now is approaching 7 billion. 1.5 billion of them are in the religion of Islam. Now, does Islam have a Savior? No. Are they religious? Yes, it's a worldly religion, but they don't have the Savior. They don't have Jesus. Without Jesus, you don't have salvation. There's entire countries that's dominated by Islam. And there's missionaries in those countries, too, that seeks to win those in Islam to Christianity. And they're greatly what? Greatly persecuted. Greatly persecuted. So you say, Jeff, are you saying Islam is on the Broadway? Yes, absolutely. Without Jesus, anyone's on the Broadway. It's a worldly religion, but they don't have a Savior. The Savior is Jesus. He's it. There is no other Savior. There is no other way. Every country under heaven is under the only name by which anybody can be saved is Jesus. Without Jesus, you can't be saved. That's the truth. Now, what I'm telling you is right, isn't it? Isn't that what he says in John 14:6? Now, you got to be willing to stand for that, because many churches anymore is not making a stand on that anymore. Well, you know, we're all seeking to get there, this road and that road and that road. But there's one road. There's not 10 roads. There is only one. It's Jesus. 1.5 billion in Islam. Hinduism has 900 million in it. Hindu, according to this that I'm looking at, almost a billion, really. Hinduism, 900 million. So that's 1.5 billion, and now you have another 900 million that's in another worldly religion. That has no what? No Savior. All of them's on a broad road. It's a religious road. Many of these people in these religions are not immoral. Many of them's very moral, some of them are, in the way that they live and respectful and everything. But they don't have a Savior. The Savior's Jesus. He's it. So you say, well, don't, you know, ain't they doing the best they can? The best you can's not good enough. Men are accountable to God for their sin, whether they've heard of Him or not, because He's give one great big testimony that He exists, and that's the creation. The creation makes all men accountable to Him. And, of course, you can't be saved by just believing in the creation, can you? But you can look at the creation and seek, and the Holy Spirit can move and see to it that you get the Word. So Hinduism has 900 million. Buddhism has 376 million. And I got much more down here. I don't even know what this one is. I know Judaism has 14 million. Does Judaism have a Savior? They reject Jesus. So I could go on and on, and you get the idea. This is a lot just named over 2 billion people that's on this road. And I left several others out. I named about 2 billion people there that's on this road. And it's leading to destruction. And they're religious. You see what I mean? Isn't it a shame? It's sad. And are they right? No, they're not right, because they don't have a Savior. So you're talking about a lot of people that's on this broad road in this worldly religion. So, like I said, today in the United States, it's getting so all-inclusive, and everybody's right, and there is no wrong. You ever notice it? Everybody's right, and there is no absolutes. Well, there is absolutes in the Scripture. There's absolutely one way of salvation. Absolutely. And that's Jesus. John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Now, that's as clear as you want to put it. And if Islam don't have Him, then they don't have the way to heaven. And if Buddhism don't have Him, then they don't have the way to heaven. And if Hinduism don't have Him, then they don't have the way of heaven. They're on the broad road. And it's a shame. And it's a shame. That's why Christianity seeks to take the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news of Jesus Christ, to the world. That's a lot of people that we're talking about right here, is it not? So now we're looking at the broad road, and we're looking at religious people that's on this broad road. And we showed how the worldly religions are on this broad road. I just mentioned the biggest ones. A lot of other ones I could have listed, but I just listed the biggest ones to put a face to show you how many they are. And say it. Say it. They don't have a Savior. They're dedicated to their religion. The people of Islam is way more dedicated than many of the people in Christianity. way more dedicated to their false religion. It's a shame that they don't have a Savior. Does that make you sad when you think about it? Isn't that a sad thing? They don't have a Savior. All right, let's talk about counterfeit Christianity. Is there such a thing as counterfeit Christianity? There is true Christianity, but there's also counterfeit Christianity. Everybody that claims to be a Christian, or everybody, every place that claims to be a church, or everybody that claims to be a preacher is not necessarily a true one. You have to check things out. You have to know what the Scripture says, and you have to check things out. I want you to check me out. Make sure that I'm telling you the truth. If I'm not telling you the truth, then I need to be called on. If I'm not telling you the truth and I'm consistently presenting error of this book, you need to run me off. Or anybody else that stands up and proclaims something that's out not in this book and not according to the Word of God. There's a lot of counterfeits out there. And the Bible teaches us that there will be, would be, and will continue to be counterfeits. The problem is, again today, is especially since most in the United States, many, we recognize worldly religions as being okay anymore. How much more then would they not make a stand against counterfeit Christianity? If they won't make a stand against worldly religions being wrong, how much more will they not make a stand against counterfeit Christianity? There's counterfeit Christianity. As a matter of fact, there's more counterfeit Christianity than there is true Christianity. Can I say that one more time? There's more counterfeit Christianity than there is true Christianity. By far. You can't even far of measuring it. It don't even compare to how much is false. I'm not trying to be the minister of gloom. I'm just trying to be the minister of reality. This is just the way that it is. There's a lot of counterfeits. Now watch this now. Now, can I prove it by Scripture? It certainly can. Matthew chapter 7, look at skip over verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now, someone that says Lord, Lord is someone that makes a profession of knowing the Lord. They're taking the position that the Lord is their master and they are the Lord's servant. He's my Lord. He's my master, you know. And that's the position that they're taking in this particular text. So this is people that have made a profession of faith, and this is a warning. To everyone that hears what I'm reading right now, it's a warning. Not everyone that saith, Lord, Lord, is going to enter into the kingdom of heaven. So it behooves you to make sure your salvation. The Bible says that we need to make our election and our calling sure. The Bible says in the book of Corinthians, we are to examine ourselves and to make sure that we're in the faith. And we should. One of the purposes of the book of 1 John is so that we know that we have everlasting life. You need to know you're on the right way. You need to know you've trusted the right message. You need to know that you're on that narrow road that leads to eternal life. You need to know it because there is indeed a lot of counterfeits out there. I have tried in 30 years to warn you about counterfeits. So this is no new message that I'm bringing. I've warned and warned and warned and warned about all the different counterfeits out there and the false gospels. And since we're here, I guess I'm going to do it over again. So notice what it says. Not everyone that saith, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. That's a warning. That's a warning. But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. You know what the will of the Father is? And I forgot to look this particular verse up. There was a man that came to Jesus. And he asked him, what must we do to work the works of God? And Jesus responded, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he sent. So that's the will of the Father. That's what the Father wants you to do. He wants you to trust in the Son. He wants to put your sole hope of heaven in the Son, Jesus Christ. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life. That's the will of the Father which is in heaven. His will is that you trust Jesus. That's what the will of the Father is. Now, notice the boast of these that's in counterfeit Christianity. I showed you the warning. Now let me show you their boast. And I want you to listen in the text what it says. Lord, Lord, verse 22, have we not prophesied in your name? Prophesied is what a prophet does, is they prophesy. So these are people that claim to be prophets. So they say, we prophesied in your name. They claim to be messengers of God that delivers inspired messages from God. There's a lot of people today that claim to be prophets. Hey, God speaks to them, and then God tells people, and then they tell people what God has to say. Now, I'm going to continue with this position, and I'm comfortable with making this statement. I think anyone today that claims to be a prophet's a false prophet. I think anyone that claims to be a prophet today is a false prophet. I really do, and I'm going to continue to preach that, because I think prophecy ceased with the completion of this book. I think now that this book is complete, if you want to know what God has to say, you open it up and read it. I think one of the problems today, and you wonder why people can follow people like Jim Jones and follow people like Jim Baker and follow people like all of these false prophets. You know how they can do that? Because they claim that God speaks to them. And then they tell you what God has to say. And they develop a huge following that way. I don't know why they can develop. Well, I think it's just like the book of Thessalonians says, God sends them strong delusion that they may believe a lie. I look at Benny Hinn and some of the things that he does on television, blowing people down, knocking down whole sections by waving his hand. Where is that in the Scripture? When they heal people, they heal them. These guys are unbelievable. They'll pack out civic centers of people to come in and watch the show. And we can't beg people to come in and listen to God's Word. It's not as dramatic, but folks, what I'm giving you is true. And what they're giving you is not true. They're false prophets. They're after your pocketbook. They sow a false gospel. They're presenting false miracles too. It's not the right way. It's counterfeit. Boasting of a false gift. Notice it says, we've not prophesied in your name. In your name casted out demons. In your name we've done many wonderful works. Notice the boasting of their mouth doesn't say a thing about Jesus, does it? They're trusting in their wonderful works. They're trusting in all the things that they did. The object of their faith was in their works. That's what counterfeit Christianity does. It's the same as worldly religion. Worldly religion, every system of worldly religion you look at is works-based. And every bit of counterfeit Christianity is works-based. It's all the same thing. You gain acceptance with God or whoever by your deeds. That's why it's really easy to recognize when you really get if you know what to look for and really check it out. It's false religion. So you'll notice here in verse 22, they thought they knew God. They made their boast of God, prophesied in His name. They casted out demons. They've done many wonderful works. See their boast? What would the Lord say? Notice they're rejected. Now, wouldn't this be as scary? Verse 23. I'll profess unto them, I never knew you. They claim to know Jesus. They claim to be His messengers. They claim to do many wonderful things in His name. But Jesus says to them, what? I never knew you. Depart from me, ye workers of what? Now, you know what? They could have fed the poor. They could have built huge places to feed the poor, and they might have done it. They could give a lot of money to those that were in need. But my friend, if those works weren't done as a result of being saved, but rather they were done in order to save themselves, those works are wicked works. That's why He calls their works workers of iniquity. Unless you're saved, your righteousnesses is as filthy rags before the Lord. If you try to gain acceptance with God by all the good things that you do, those good things that you do is iniquity in the eyes of God. He doesn't accept them. The only way your works can be righteous is if you trust the Lord Jesus as your Savior and you do your works because you love the Lord. If you do your works in order to try to save yourself, then my friend, that's an abomination and a stench in the nostril of the Heavenly Father who provided His Son as the means of saving you from your sin. How dare you reject the only way of salvation and the righteousness of Christ and the sacrificial death of Jesus to try to gain acceptance with God another way other than His Son. How offensive that is to Him. That's why He calls them workers of iniquity. He don't care how many good things they did so-called while they were here. If they've never trusted Jesus, their works are an abomination in the nostrils of God. You have to trust Jesus. So you see, their boast wasn't Jesus. Their boast was their deeds. And you see that they're rejected because of that. The Lord rejects them. Wouldn't it be a horrible thing to stand before the Lord and He say, "Depart from me, I never knew you"? Can you imagine the horribleness of that statement? There'll be a lot of people that hear that. There'll be a lot of people that hear that because they never trusted Jesus. Never did. Turn to the book of Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs chapter 14. This ain't too much, is it, folks? You think I'm telling you the truth? Yeah, I'm telling you the truth. I know it sounds harsh, but I'm really not trying to be harsh. I'm just trying to be real. And really, worldly religions don't have a Savior. That's why they're on the broad road. Counterfeit Christianity don't have a Savior either because they trust a false way. They're trusting in themselves. They're trusting their own righteousness. Proverbs chapter 14. I want you to notice verse 12. There is a way that seemeth right unto man. There is a way that seemeth right unto man. But the end thereof are the ways of what? That's in the book of Proverbs. Doesn't it seem right if you do the best you can and are a good neighbor that you can earn heaven? Doesn't it just seem right if you keep the Ten Commandments best you can? And are a good father or a good mother or whatever. Doesn't it just seem like if you're just a good person and help your neighbor and provide for your family and keep the Ten Commandments best you can, doesn't it just seem right that if you do that, you'll go to heaven at the end of your days? It might seem right, but that's wrong. It's not right. The best life that you could possibly live isn't enough for you to earn heaven. Folks, that's why Jesus had to die. That's why Jesus had to leave the portals of glory, be born, so that He could be born under the law. And commandments still ain't back. So that He could be born under the law. I point to Him every time. So that He could be born under the law and keep the commandments. And then go to Calvary and pay the debt that you owed. Die for your sin. Rise victorious over sin, death, and hell so that you could be saved. So that you would be saved. He had to do that. Now, if there had been any way that we could be saved other than that, then it would have been that way. But many people trust this way that seems right unto man. But the end thereof are the ways of death. And right here, back to Matthew chapter 7, right here is an example of people who are that way. These people are deceived. These people are deceived. They're false prophets. They present a false way. Now, how did these people get deceived? Let's go back and look on over in the text. And look up back at verse 15. Beware of false what? Now, who's giving this warning? Beware of false prophets. This is Matthew 7, verse 15. Who's giving that warning? Jesus is. He said, beware them. Now, what's He tell you about these false prophets? They don't wear a little sign on them that says, "I'm a false prophet," do they? A little blinking sign says, "False prophet, don't listen to me." They don't do that, do they? It says they come to you in sheep's clothing. In other words, they come, they look just like other preachers. They might have a tie and they might have a Bible. And they might be in a place that's called a church. See? But they wear sheep's clothing. They seek to appear as a prophet of God or as a preacher of God, but they're really not. They're peddling a false way. Okay? Now look over Matthew 24. I want to show you all the text that warns you about false prophets. Matthew chapter 24. Notice what it says at verse 24. Again, this is Jesus teaching in this particular text. Notice what he says. There shall arise false Christs, false prophets, shall show great signs and wonders. Some of these fellows have due to the ability of miracles, but it won't be the miracles done by the power of God. It'll be miracles done by the power of the devil. They will do great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive God's very elect. So it warns you, and Jesus warned about in Matthew 24:24, there shall arise false Christ and false prophets. He said, well, Jeff, where did all this false religion come from? Well, it didn't come from the Father, did it? It came from the devil. There's always been false religion. And does it not make sense if there would be a Bible and there would be one true way of salvation, that the Satan would counterfeit it with 100 different ways? Does that not make sense? He's a counterfeiter. He's a liar. Does it not make sense that he would work that way? He does. The problem is people don't realize that he does work that way. And that's the reason why I give you a Bible, so that you could look things up, so that you can look at things for yourself and ask the Lord. He'll show. Do you think the Lord will show you things if you ask him in his word? Surely he will. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Now, let's stop off at Acts. That's the next one in order. Try to go in order. I want you to notice all these warnings about false prophets. Jesus gave us two of them there in the book of Matthew. Two warnings of false prophets. And they will proclaim a false way. They present a false way. And they just didn't begin in the New Testament. You had them in the Old Testament. Remember when Elijah went up on Mount Carmel and he faced off against 450 prophets of Baal? 400 prophets of the grove, 850 false prophets. You know how many prophets of God was on Mount Carmel that day? One. Elijah. I can take you on over into the book of Chronicles and I can show you during the day when Jehoshaphat was king and he made a league with Ahab, which it was a mistake. And they were getting ready to go into battle, and he brought in all these false prophets and told them everything was okay. And Jehoshaphat said, is there not a prophet of God? There was one, Micaiah. And Ahab said, there is one, Micaiah, and I hate him. That was a statement Ahab made. He hated the prophet, but they was in the minority. You go down into the book of Jeremiah. Was Jeremiah loved? He was hated. They had all kinds of false prophets, though. Just very few were the prophets of God in the Old Testament. And it floods all the way down into the New. Acts chapter 20, he's talking to the Ephesian pastors, the Ephesian elders. Ephesus church must have been pretty good size. Verse 27, I have not shunned to declare you the whole counsel of God. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to the flock, over which the Holy Spirit hath made you an overseer, to feed the church of God which he's purchased with his own blood. For I know that, and watch this, here's the text, for I know that after this, after my departing, grievous wolves shall enter in among you, not sparing the flock. What's a grievous wolf in this text? These are false preachers, false apostles, false prophets. And they would enter into the church of Ephesus, and it tear it apart. Man, you got to put the right person. If ever you elect a pastor, you got to put the right person in the pulpit. I've seen people get in a hurry and choose the wrong person and destroy their church with it. Satan has wolves in sheep's clothing. Do you agree? Have to. I just read you three texts that shows it. Satan has men that are wolves and women that I'm going to leave that lay that are wolves. In sheep's clothing. They're not real. They appear as ministers of God, but they're not. They're not God called. They're wolves. And the doctrine and the teaching that they spread is false. It's not true. And they tear churches apart and they steal men's souls with their false ways. They really do. What it says in verse 30, also of your own self shall men arise, speaking perverted things to draw away disciples after themselves, after them. Therefore, watch. Everybody see that? Watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. It'd be a problem. These false prophets, false ministers would be a problem. And Paul said, I've warned you night and day about them. Well, do we still have false prophets and ministers today? We got more of them today than you had back then. They had a lot back then, but not nowhere near to the degree that we have them today. But that's not all the warnings. Let me give you some more in the scriptures about this. Turn to the book of 2 Corinthians 11. This Bible study, and you need to have these verses marked. And then, you know, help you understand why I give so many warnings about false teachers. Well, I want you to know the scriptures so that you can recognize them. I can recognize a false teacher. I can listen to him 15 minutes and I can recognize him. Man, I can see it. And when I see it, I'm done with it. And I'll issue a warning about them. I can see it. But you need to be able to see it and be able to determine it so that you can avoid it. It makes a difference who you listen to. It makes a great deal of difference who you listen to. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Notice what it says in this text. Verse 13. Such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. The word transform means to assume the appearance of another. They're not really apostles of Christ, but they take that appearance. They assume that. They say they are, but they're not. You'll remember in the book of Revelations, chapter 2, one of the things the church of Ephesus did was they tried those that said they were apostles and found them to be liars. Do y'all remember that? So they would put men to the test and see whether they was true or not. Verse 14, notice this. No marvel. Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his what? Ministers. He has more ministers than we do. His ministers that peddle his false gospels. That's what they do. He has his own ministers. So why would you wonder? I mean, really, when you look at all these verses, if you wonder, how can there be so many different churches? How can there be so many different religions? How can there be so many of these things? When God started only one, many of these Satan is the author of. And they're counterfeits. And they're done for the purpose of deception. And they deceive people. And there's many people on this broad road that's been deceived by these false ministers, false apostles, and false teachers, and these false religions. You say, well, maybe you are. Well, check me out and see whether I'm not. Whether I am or not. I want you to. I think I'm telling you the truth. I think I'm a minister that's been called to the ministry by the Holy Spirit. And I think the words that I teach you is what God's Word has to say. But I'd be lying to you if I told you everybody that throwed a Bible underneath their arm and called herself a preacher was really God called in His minister. Those that peddle a false gospel ain't God's ministers. And those churches that peddle false gospels ain't the Lord's churches either. They're not. Still with me? Let me give you another one here, and then I'll turn to the book of Galatians 1. I've given you this one in the past. Galatians chapter 1. Now, in the book of Galatians, this was several churches. As a matter of fact, 1 Peter would have been delivered to the churches in this region that are mentioned in verse 1 of 1 Peter. This is some of the this language in Galatians 1. Oh, it's strong. It's so strong. It's designed to get your attention, really. It's so strong. And it's scary. I want you to listen to what it says. Verse 6. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ and to another gospel. You see where verse 6 says another gospel? Now let me ask you a question. How many gospels are they? Let me straighten this out. How many true gospels are they? It's in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4 defined for us. Now, how many false gospels are they? There's many of those. There's a lot of those. Verse 7 says, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you that would pervert the gospel of Christ. So he says it's not another. There is no other gospel, but there be some that pervert the gospel. Now, the word pervert means to turn into something of opposite character. The gospel message is a message of life. But if you pervert it, and you pervert it by adding to it, and if you add to it, you're taken away from it. If you do that, then you've perverted the gospel. The gospel message is that Christ died for our sins and rose again the third day, 1 Corinthians 15. By receiving that message is how you're saved. If you say you're saved by receiving Jesus, plus I have to baptize you in order to get saved, then that's a perverted gospel. If you say you got to trust Jesus, plus you have to be circumcised after the manner of Moses, that's a perverted gospel. If you say you need to trust Jesus and then keep yourself saved by your good works, that's a perverted gospel. You're adding any addition to Jesus is a perverted gospel. As far as salvation is concerned, I believe in doing good deeds, but I'm not doing good deeds to get saved. You know I believe in baptism, but you don't get baptized to get saved. You get baptized because you are saved. So a perverted gospel is a dangerous thing because a perverted gospel, if someone trusts a perverted gospel, they're on the broad road that leads to destruction. Would you all stand with me on that right there? Would you agree with that? If you trust a perverted gospel, that you're on a broad road that leads to destruction. You are. You have to trust the true gospel. There's more peddlers out there for the perverted gospels than there is for the true gospel. Far more. Now watch this now. I'll show you how grave of an offense this is in the eyes of God. Watch this in verse 8 and 9. But though we or an angel from heaven, I don't care where they claim they come from. Though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you. What's it say? Let him be. That's the word anathema. And it carries the idea of damned. Let them be damned. That would do such a thing. That's the strongest language used in the Scriptures as far as an anathema. You talk anybody would mess with the gospel of Christ, an anathema is pronounced upon them in Scripture. That's why it's a dangerous thing to mess with the gospel. You don't fool with it. But there are many that does. Verse 9, as said before, so I say now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be what? Anathema. That's strong language. So go back to our text and start to quit. Boy, that's a load in one sermon, ain't it? As I'm thinking, I think, boy, you really sound harsh. I'm really trying to be nice. I don't think I'm yelling, Emma. I'm just trying to, this is true. There's a lot of false prophets. That's why there's so many false ways. Everyone's not teaching the truth. Many are teaching a false gospel in a false way. That's why there's many that's on this broad road that are deceived. They think they're saved. And they say, Lord, we've prophesied. We've done many wonderful works. And he said, I never knew you. If you've never trusted Christ and him alone, then you're not saved. It's got to be him. And it's got to be his way. Now, here's what I get is how I know I'm right. You might be the one that's a false prophet. Well, I teach that salvation is solely through Jesus. 100% through Jesus. That you're saved by His righteousness, not yours. That you're saved by grace, not by your works. That's what I preach. That's what I preach for a long time. That's what this church stands for. This church stands for salvation by grace through faith and that alone. There's a lot of people who claim to preach that don't. If you preach your salvation is lost and maintained by your works, then that's not salvation by grace. You're maintaining your salvation by your works and you lose grace. Anytime you add any works to grace. That's what I preach. It's what this church stands for. Now, how do I know I'm right? I got a lot of scriptures I could show you, and I'm not going to. I just want to give you one. It's the same one I always use. I get the question all the time as I go out. How do you know you're right? There's so many different. See how the devil works? There's this. Jeff, you're telling us this way. This guy's saying something else. And this guy's saying something else. And here's this unsaved guy saying, or this unsaved woman saying, which one of you guys are right? You see how Satan works? He just buffaloes us with all this false stuff. And then many churches just assume everybody is right. 2,000 years ago when Jesus died on Calvary, he saved a man. Didn't he? In those 6 hours that he hung on Calvary, there's no doubt on both sides of him was two lost men. They were malefactors. They were thieves. Jesus saved one of them. And you don't have to have a degree in theology to know how that man got saved. Both of those men were lost, weren't they? And this one was convicted of his sin, repented of his sin. He had a change of mind. This man who before mocked Jesus had a change of mind. He says, Lord, called him what? Lord, I want you to remember me when you come into your kingdom. Didn't have a thing in the world to offer him at all. Could he get baptized? Did he have a bunch of good works that by which he could claim? All he could do was come to Jesus' house, just like he was. But he was repentant. Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. What did Jesus say? Today, you'll be with me in paradise. What saved him? Jesus did, didn't he? Was he saved by his good deeds? Was he saved by his church membership? Was he saved by baptism? Was he saved by his works? Or was he saved by Jesus? Look at the picture. There you go. That's what we preach. All Jesus. All Jesus. That's the ministers of God. That's the people of God. Spread that message. All God's people say, beware of false prophets. Let's all stand. Well, folks, that was the